brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead, as we usually do, to the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. So we'll take a look at Sunday's readings in just a few moments. The readings are taken from Wisdom, chapter 9, 13 to 18, and then part of Psalm 90, and then Paul's letter to Philemon, verses 9 to 10 and 12 to 17. 9 to 10 and 12 to 17. And the gospel is Luke 14, 25 to 33. All right, brothers and sisters, this is a power-packed set of readings here, because I want you to see how people who have given their lives fully over to the Lord are. And I don't mean you have to imitate them in their occupations, but in their zeal, in their love for the Lord, in their desire to serve. And brothers and sisters, too often we think of ourselves, we go to church on Sunday and that's it. I'm a Catholic. I go to church on Sunday. I have my children baptized. But what about your day-to-day walk with the Lord? It should stand out, and God wants to give us the grace for each of those. Anything that's hard to overcome, He wants to give us the grace. He wants to supply us, but we need to come to Him and ask for it. He needs to know that our will is in accord with His will. So let's take a look here at the first reading from the Book of Wisdom. Again, chapter 9, verses 13 to 18. Who can know God's counsel? Who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down upon the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or whoever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. Brothers and sisters, we have been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when we were baptized. We've been given outpouring of the Holy Spirit when we've been confirmed. And they're not just rituals we went through when we're children. They're graces and gifts and power, actually, from God that we can be given. But we need to ask Him. We've got a free will. I can reject Him. I can turn away. But I beg you to listen to Him. The corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And it's true. We get so caught up in this world that we don't see that our first call is to love Him, to adore Him, and to follow Him. And when we do that, an awful lot of other things fall into place. There are difficulties, there are trials, there always are in this world. But God is there, right beside us, when we're having to face difficulty. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or whoever knew your counsel except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. Have you called on the Holy Spirit? Have you asked Him to be with you? He honestly is with you. But our will needs to encounter Him and say yes to Him, that He may give us and supply us with the gifts and the graces of the Trinity that He wants to give us in this life. You go through life saying, oh, God, help me, and then you never think of it again for the next 6 months. We need to ask Him daily. Not like rote or rule, but just saying honestly, Lord, every day I need you. Every day I need you in this child that I have at home that's difficult to deal with. I need you in my workplace. I need you to help me. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. And I'm going to ask you for it, Lord, and wait upon you. And it's not going to be an audible voice from heaven. You're just going to get, most times you get it, It could be an audible voice from heaven, but most times it's simply a nudge or an idea, and you say, huh, I never thought of that before. Then you have to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, is this from you? Help me to follow you. I want to follow the God that I love, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to follow you. Please help me. Whoever knew your counsel except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high, and thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. It comes because we keep coming back to the Lord. We keep asking him in every way to be our refuge. In every way, O Lord, you have been our refuge. And the second reading is Paul to Philemon, verses 9 to 10 and 12 to 17. I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So here is someone who was a slave, here was someone who was a servant, who was kind of at the lowest of the low in terms of human order. He gave himself fully to the Lord, and now Paul is making the sacrifice to give this servant whom he needed back to his people. So there are all kinds of sacrifices in there, but at the same time, he's wanting to build the body of Christ, to strengthen the body of Christ. And so he uses Onesimus, who is no longer a slave, but he's more than a slave, he's a brother. Beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. What our society does, it classifies people, makes people sometimes no better than a slave. There are all kinds of categories and reasons why. And it's good to stay. Obviously, it's more than good. It's the right thing to stay away from evil. But at the same time, pray for those who do evil. Pray that they might encounter Christ. Pray that they might return to him. Look for good friends. Look for people who love the Lord and want to follow him and give their hearts to him. Let your face shine upon your servant. And teach me your laws. And we look to friends to help us with that. We look to friends to aid us, and they can give and receive from us, just as we can give and receive from them. Draw them in, brothers and sisters, those who are very good to you. Draw them closer to you. Learn from them. Perhaps they will become good friends of yours as well. But you notice that this was a slave. Nobody talked to a slave. They just did the bidding of the master. And here is Paul telling them he's now a brother, and he's beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. Think about that. He identifies with the servant. He identifies with the slave. And asks them to welcome him as you would me. Luke 14, verses 25 to 33. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Think about that. It's good to talk to people about our burdens and ask for their assistance or help, but not to shove off our burden onto somebody else or blame someone else when we have a part to play. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you, if you do not renounce all his possessions, you cannot be my disciple. I own nothing, brothers and sisters. I belong to you. We are all part of the body of Christ. Every person has a particular role to play, but I want to encourage and build up and strengthen all parts of the body for the sake of the kingdom, to give credit where credit is due, to reach out to other people. When we do that, we bring ourselves to the place where, as we congratulate other people or thank other people, we find more people speaking that way to us. It really can change a whole society. You might go for 10 years and not see any difference, but you become more grateful and charitable instead of getting hard or mean-spirited, that you really seek to be grateful and encouraging for what God has done for you. If each of us does this, we are going to encounter the living God walking among us and helping us and protecting us in every way. Luigi Gisani was a priest of Milan, Italy. He wrote this: as time passes, Jesus makes his request more demanding. The call to follow him not only reflects readiness to acknowledge him as just and worthy of trust, but also the need to renounce oneself. In a certain sense, this is obvious. In order to follow someone, we have to abandon our own position, ourselves. This is what he asks of his disciples, to follow him at the cost of forsaking their attachments to either family life or possessions. The profound meaning of this renunciation, the renunciation of self as a criterion, was destined to emerge later in the souls of those who followed him. But Jesus not only demanded that they follow him by detaching themselves from their possessions, he asked them to live for him in the face of society. He also asks men to follow him in an exterior social way and makes man's very worth, his salvation, depend upon this. If anyone declares himself for me in the presence of human beings, I will declare myself for him in the presence of my Father in heaven. Ponder that, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.